Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
There's probably mainly men in here that are like, if they want the answer, if they want help, they can come to me. Anybody feel like that? And then there's a bunch of you here that are like, if you've got the answer, then you've got to go find everybody and help them. Nobody? Anybody? Well, I'm the type of personality that's a little bit more that, you know what, I may have the tool, I may have the help, I may know what to do, but I'm more the personality that says, if they want help, they can come to me. And unfortunately, that's not always the best course of action. And then unfortunately, that's not always the best course of action when it comes to this faith thing either. We have been talking this month about going from, that's not right, going from being fishermen to fishers of men. And it is the call that God places on our lives to go beyond what we do with most of our lives and transform that into being a disciple of Christ. And at the end of the book of Matthew, at the end of his account of Jesus and the work of Christ, Matthew writes this. In Matthew chapter 28, he writes of Jesus saying, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And so Jesus comes as this little baby. He is born of a virgin, and he grows up. And he's following God, and he's honoring his parents. And when he's about 30 years old, he starts going throughout the country sharing this good news that forgiveness of sins is coming, and that there is victory, and that the old way was only partially helpful, and it's going to be complete soon. And he's saying, you know what, the kingdom of God is at hand, there is forgiveness of sins, there is healing, there is life everlasting, but you have to be born again and you have to start following me. And eventually the religious leaders and the people get jealous of him, angry at him, accuse him, and they end up taking him to the Romans, who crucify him and kill him. And then they bury him in a tomb, and on the third day, he rises to life again, never to die again. And as he is there, resurrected to life, speaking to his disciples, he says to them, "Hey guys, you now know that what I have said is true. I have proven that what I say is true by the fact that I have risen from the dead. I have done what I said I was going to do. I have done what the prophets said I was going to do. And now that I am here, you have this victory. You have this assurance. You have this hope and this forgiveness. And you have this life everlasting." But it doesn't stop there. Now you need to go into all the earth and make more disciples. I made you disciples. I made you fishers of men. And now it's your job to go into all the earth and make disciples, to make fishers of men. And the reality is that we all know that there is significant need in the world for the message of Christ. You can think of family members, you can think of coworkers, employees, you can think of your friends, you can think of people that you go to school with. It's pretty easy. You can think of lots of people that need that hope. And not just those people who are really terrible people, because you probably have a list of those too, don't you? You've got a list on your fridge, or maybe not on your fridge, maybe you're not that bold, but you've got kind of this list in the back of your head of all those people you want to avoid because you know how horrible they are. And some of them are your in-laws, and some of them are just people that you know the reputation, and you know, like, these are some people that do some seriously shady stuff. And so we know that they really need Jesus to be changed, but we also have those other people in our lives who are just struggling with other things. They're struggling with depression, they're struggling with anxiety, they're struggling with fear, their finances are a mess, their marriage is a mess, they don't know where they're headed in life, they feel overwhelmed by guilt and shame, and that beats them down and tears them apart, and you can see it eating away. You know people who are struggling with addictions in their lives, and you know how that starts to just erode their hearts and tear them apart. You know people that you look at them and they have that look in their eyes that they feel totally lost. They feel totally lost. You know people like that. The need for the message of hope, for the message of concrete truth, of direction and healing and forgiveness and new life is needed all around us. And I'm guessing that all of you have at least one person in mind that needs this message of hope. Am I right? And most of us, if we bother to slow down and think about it, can think of a lot of people. And beyond just the people that we know, we can look out onto the world, into the world, and we see lots of people that need help. We look at our politicians, we look at our government officials, we look at business leaders, business organizers, we look at people around us, people in the schools, people in our hospitals, people in our prisons, and we see lots of people that need the hope and need the message of Christ. And so we are surrounded by people that need this message. But our default is typically, if they want it, I'll let them come to me. If they want help, they can go out of their way to come to me to get it. It's a little bit like, being a bus driver, but you never stop the bus to pick up the kids on the way to school. Because it's like, well, if they want the bus, then they should just come to my house and get on the bus. You think, I've got the transportation, maybe not a school bus, maybe it's just a city bus or whatever, and you're driving through town, and you're supposed to be picking up people, that's what you were hired for, but you're thinking, you know what, this bus gig is great for me because I get free transport wherever I need to go, but you never bother stopping for anybody else. Or maybe it's like being a doctor. And you've gone through years of medical training, and you think to yourself, you know what? This is really, really useful to keep myself healthy, keep my family healthy, but I'm really not going to bother helping anybody else. This is really just useful for me and my family. Is that a little ridiculous? That seems a little ridiculous. It's kind of like if you were in an office situation and corporate called you and said, you know what, you guys are getting a bonus and you can use that money either to replace the photocopier or the office chairs, and you decide that instead you're going to take the money and buy yourself a fur coat. You were given the money to help your office. So why would you keep it to yourself? You were given the training to help other people. So why are you keeping it to yourself? You were given the bus to go around and pick up people. Not to pick up people. To transport people. And you're not doing that. See, the reality of the call, the reality of this passage at the end of Matthew is that Jesus doesn't say, therefore, if you feel like it, go and make disciples of some people, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, if it's convenient. He doesn't say, therefore, go take your faith, go hide yourselves in a hole, avoid all the bad people in the world, cut yourself off from everybody else, and just live your life well in your own little corner until the end times and the world is destroyed. He doesn't say, go out and find all the good people, gather them together into one little church, keep them all there, ostracize everybody else, separate yourself, and make sure that you guys live in your own perfect utopia while the world ends. That's not what he says. He very simply gives a command. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. He is calling us to make disciples of all nations, and that is both a geographical statement that he wants us to geographically, physically go out from our places and find other people that are lost and need this message, but it is also about going out and looking around us and seeing people that we don't already interact with, people that we don't necessarily associate with our being our circle or our people, and including them. I was at a store a couple days ago, and I was standing there, and there was this guy. I almost called him a gentleman, and I don't think that's accurate. But there was a guy there, and I didn't quite make out everything he said, but he said something along the lines of, pretty soon there won't be any white people left in this store. Folks, Jesus doesn't say, go and make disciples of white people. He doesn't say, go and make disciples of people that you're related to. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. I don't care what color your skin is. I don't care what country you were born in, what community you were raised in, what language you speak, what economical background you come from or currently exist in. I don't care about your political background, who you're voting for. It doesn't matter to me if you're in a godly relationship or some other relationship. I don't care. This message is for you. And it is our job to share the message with everybody. Not to look around and say, oh, you look different. Oh, you behave different. Oh, you have some different status than me, and somehow create walls and push them aside. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. He is saying everybody. To look around and see our neighbors and our employees and our coworkers and our bosses and the people we go to school with and our teachers and our students and the people, our clients, our family members, some of them that we like, some of them we don't like, some of them are obviously walking down this path of just horrible destruction, and other people who are being torn apart inside, it doesn't matter. Some people are doing some stuff right and other stuff wrong, and some people are just doing everything wrong. It doesn't matter. Those are the people that we have been called to reach. And this isn't a suggestion. You were hired as a bus driver to transport people. If you don't transport people, you get fired. You have been given this gospel to share it. And you share it, you don't have to be pushy, you don't have to be weird about it, you don't need to get up on a soapbox and a microphone and shout it to everybody, you don't need to walk around and start pointing at people and declaring how sinful they are and how big the need is. For some of you, you just need to invite them to church. Maybe that's an awkward conversation about the faith thing is an awkward conversation, and you're like, I don't know how to bring this up. I don't know how to talk about this, but I just know that whatever that guy on the platform says makes a lot of sense, and the presence of God is in this place, and I know that when we gather together, something incredible happens, and I just want other people to experience that, and I want somebody that's a little bit better with the words to share that good news. Get them here. You don't need to be the most eloquent speaker, because I am. You guys laughed way too readily at that. It might not need to be an in-depth conversation. Maybe you just need to get them here so that they can hear it, and then you can talk to them after. Maybe it's about sharing your personal experience. And it's not about going into necessarily even the story of Jesus, but sharing, you know what? When I have troubles, I pray and I believe that Jesus hears me and that he's fighting for me. Or when I've struggled with shame, it's the forgiveness of Christ that has relieved that. And you don't need to declare anything over anybody necessarily, but you just share your own personal experience of God, and that can open up the door. Maybe it's about just obeying the leading of the Holy Spirit when he whispers and he prompts you and he puts it on your heart and he says, you know what, I want you to go over, I want you to help that person, or I want you to go over there and I want you to just encourage that person, or I want you to go over there and I do want you to share an explicit gospel message with them. And whatever God puts on your heart, maybe it's just being obedient. But regardless of that, he is calling us to go and meet them where they are. Not demand and shout from over here and say, come over here, hear the message. He's told us to go to them. He's told us to go to them. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, Jesus gives this word to his disciples. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Keeping the gospel to yourself is not an option. You have to share it. And for most of us, that means that we start close to home and then work our way out. You have a message. And it's not just a philosophical message. You have good news about a living God who wants to set people free. And keeping it to yourself is not an option. You can't keep it and buy yourself a fur coat. You have to share it. You need to share it with your family. You need to share it with those at work. You need to share it with those in your community. And again, I'm not saying you've got to go and preach a sermon at people. For most of us, it's just looking for the opportunities, sharing our personal experience, inviting them to church. And just including people from every nation in your lives. The worship team's going to come up, and we're going to take a little bit of time to worship in song and to reflect on these words. And figure out what it is that God wants you to do next. But I believe that God is doing incredible work in this town already. And that He wants to reach other people. And He wants to reach and include them. And I believe that He is bringing people to this church. He is bringing people to this church and wants to reach them with the good news of Christ. And keeping it to ourselves is not an option. We have to share it. And the first thing we need to do is we need to look around ourselves in our own church and get to know each other. And then you need to look around your family and figure out who needs that message of hope. And just be watching for those who are lost. Stop the bus and share the good news. Because keeping it to yourself is not an option.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church. In joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.